Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks for being with us today. Janie and I are looking at the five crowns that are mentioned in Scripture, and today we are examining the crown of rejoicing.
This particular gift has sometimes been called the soul winner's crown. All soul winners have particular different paths that they can take. It's just not because you've given somebody the ABCs of salvation or the Roman road, but maybe your life has been used to awaken a soul who was just tripsing along through the daisies. So there's many different ways for someone to be able to receive the crown of rejoicing.
Well, Janie, I want to start us off today with 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." And we also find that we will be judged based on what we have built upon the foundation, which is Christ. And that is found in 1 Corinthians 3:10 through 13. So when we talk about the judgment seat of Christ, this is a place where believers will stand before the Lord face to face. This is separate from the great white throne judgment.
Now, there are some teachings that try to put them together, but if you are a student of the word, you will see that
there is a separation.
There is, yes, okay. Yes. The great white throne where those that have chosen to reject Jesus Christ will have their great white throne judgment at a later time.
Okay, so this week we are talking about believers here today and what they will receive when they stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, there will be crowns and rewards, but we have been talking about the five crowns that are named in Scripture. And last week we talked about the incorruptible crown, and we're going to start today with the crown of rejoicing. And we can find information on the crown of rejoicing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 20. I won't read those today, but basically what Paul is sharing with us is that the crown of rejoicing will be given to those who invest in others as Christ invested in us.
Yes, yes. And Sharon, if you've had the privilege of being a tool to bring someone to the Lord, I don't know of any greater joy, and I'm going to say that includes emotional feelings, thoughts, because you recognize something that you could never do as a human being has just been done by your faithful witness, by your being emptied of yourself so that Christ can be the life that this person needs. And you've brought somebody out of the grave into life. Now, I know there's not a lot of raising the dead going on these days, but in the days when the Lord walked here, there was probably not a greater testimony than seeing someone dead come to life and have no deterioration. Look, when Lazarus came out of the grave.
And it's all really just an example of our life today in the Spirit, that we are able to help people see the light of Christ and be raised from death to life.
Yes, and this particular gift has sometimes been called the soul winner's crown. It's identified with somebody who has a spiritual gift of evangelism. But stop and think that all soul winners have particular different paths that they can take. It's just not because you've given somebody the ABCs of salvation or the Roman road. But maybe your life has been used to awaken a soul who was just tripsing along through the daisies and thought life was great, and they were headed to hell, and you awakened their soul, and you didn't even know how you did it, but the Spirit did it through you. So awakening somebody's conscience. So there's many different ways for someone to be able to receive the crown of rejoicing. Bringing the Word of God to a person, and this is quite controversial these days. A lot of times people are so against the Word of God being hammered to them that they don't even want to speak it to someone else.
And I've heard people say that's why they don't share, is because they don't want to cram the Bible down someone's throat.
And I find that if your heart is full of agape love, you can quote the Scriptures without it being a hammer on somebody.
So really, we're allowing the enemy to shut our mouth in fear of what others may say.
Right.
Or what if they reject my words or resist what I have to say?
But you know what, Sharon? Even if there is still resistance, the Lord says, teach, preach the word in season, out of season. So we have to condition our thought processes that we will be faithful to our Lord by saying what he has said, regardless. Just very quickly, Jeremiah was told by the Lord, I have put my words in your mouth. You speak them. And Sharon, he did for 40 years, and he never saw 1 ounce of fruit. And the very people he gave his life for eventually killed him. So you see, it's not the results that we're right. looking at. Right. It's the faithfulness.
The faithfulness of
yes.
the person. So basically, we should speak with a heart to be faithful to him.
That's right.
And let him do the rest.
Right. Yes, yes. And I believe we make too light of this crown of rejoicing if we do not hold to what the Lord said was his first priority, and that's communion with him, intercession for others. And I find that in this day and age, people have a tendency to just want to tack on a prayer to the ministry or the work that's already been done. So we spend an hour on a ministry and 2 minutes on praying and closing that ministry or that teaching or what have you.
And I think describing this as a soul winner's crown, I think really gives me a better understanding of what it means to have a crown of rejoicing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I always thought that that was kind of one of those crowns that would show how much of a joyful heart that we had when we were walking here on planet Earth and how we displayed Christ. I guess to some degree that is true, but describing that as the soul winner's crown really gives me a better understanding of what this crown really stands for.
Well, we can use two words to have a perfect word picture in today's society. Billy Graham.
Yeah.
He will have the soul winner's crown. And that's why I think it's more than just something you sit on your head, because who knows the millions that are we in the kingdom because of this man's dedication to seeing that we were brought out of death and into life.
Right. Yeah. And there's other ways, like you said, there's other ways to bring the gospel to people. Maybe you pay for Bibles to be sent to
yes.
another country. You know, that would be a soul winner's crown as well.
Yes,
correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So it really is important that we walk in the Spirit, that we spend time in prayer and allowed God to use us in whatever way that he chooses to use us for his glory.
Right.
Because, you know, Janie, I think we spend a lot of time comparing ourselves with each other, but we're all on the same team.
You know, Sharon, Paul has really addressed the principle that you've just stated, and I'd like to read it because it is very timely on what you've just said, and it's found in 2 Corinthians 10:12. And Paul says, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Sharon, that sounds like a good scripture for saying, oh, it's all about me, myself, and I, isn't it?
Yeah, which is where we are today. It is all about me, myself, and I. We've become a very selfish, self-indulgent people.
And yet what's even more offensive in this passage is that we have then shown that we are making ourselves the final authority. There's no place in here that says that our comparison is against the righteous standard of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why there's so many divisions amongst the body of Christ. I don't care what denomination or group you may be coming from. We've not made him Lord and final authority. We are now setting up a standard that I have about you or you have about me.
Right.
And then we are probably not discerning, but judging one another. And what does Paul say? You're not wise.
Right.
That's not heavenly wisdom.
Well, and then recently you had said what one generation does in moderation, the next generation does in excess. Mm-hmm. And so if we think about that with selfishness and the final authorities in our lives, we are just teaching the next generation to be more selfish and to be more self-indulgent and to be more self-reliant.
And sometimes we don't recognize we're doing that, Sharon, because we so want to make life, quote unquote, better for the next generation. Mm-hmm. And so we somehow believe that giving them peace, comfort, safety, fun, greatness, exploring things of this world rather than being trained in what they're here for, mm-hmm. We, out of the goodness, quote unquote, of our hearts, we train them in that, believing we're doing what's great for our children, not recognizing we're helping to bring about their own demise.
Yeah, that is so true. So this crown of rejoicing is something that we earn based on our relationship with God, number one, and then how we treat others, how we give that overflow of what God is in our own life to others. And I think that we have this expectation, because Jesus died on the cross, we have this expectation that everything is a free gift without any effort on our part. And to some degree, that's true. Now, can you explain to me how it's different?
Well, there's several things. Words matter, and you know how you and I mm-hmm. have had much discussion on words.
Yes.
And when we talk about earning something in where we live now, it is for a purpose of reward and wages, but it's also done by our own strength.
Okay.
All right, so we need to immediately say, John 15, apart from you, Father God, I can do nothing. So our earning is already showing our dependence upon the Lord Jesus, not our independence. So okay. We just need to have that for clarification. But with the same token, we also need to realize that every man can receive something, because at the Bema, every man will receive praise even if they don't receive the crown.
Okay.
But again, that's because they have kept the responsibilities that the Bible lays out for a godly life to even receive the praise. And Sharon, let me just diverse real quick here. Every man will receive praise even if their life was a mess, because at some point in time, they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, their ultimate goal at that point may have been just to get out of hell and into heaven, but they realized He was the way, the truth, and the life.
Okay.
So they can receive praise, not because they fought a good fight or because they earned it by the power of His strength, except on that one occasion. Now, I have just described to you grace.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
So you're absolutely right in the fact that we can't earn anything of ourselves except as we allow Him to be in us what He's asked to be.
So let me ask this question. When it comes to this rejoicing crown, it is about bringing others to salvation.
Yes.
And investing in their lives.
Yes.
And we're a little lax there. We have a tendency, and I've heard this many times from Christians, sadly, that they point fingers at people who are still in sin rather than finding a way that they could be a witness to those people who are in sin. Does that make sense?
That makes very good sense. And I think every day we go out and intermingle with the body of Christ, we probably see that as an example. And
it's almost like we have this attitude that we're better somehow.
Well, we haven't learned how to use the gift of discernment.
Okay.
We have to really have the mind of Christ, of which the Scripture says that we have been given the mind of Christ. We probably allow a little bit of our earthbound personality and temperament to override what should be our true disposition. Now, I'm going to stop and explain that.
Okay.
My personality may have a certain temperament, and that can vary in how I see people from based on how I have been made and how I have then have a fallen nature that Christ has redeemed but I've still got traces of that old way of thinking. But the way I can correct that is, do I have the same disposition? Disposition is what we are given anew at salvation. And that is another way of saving. Do I have the mind of Christ? Yes, I do. Am I operating in the mind of Christ? Then I have the right disposition.
Okay.
And that disposition will then affect my personality and my temperament as to how I see that person that I'm accusing of being out there in sin because they don't agree with what I say. Now, am I tracking with you on the same vein?
I believe so. I think that there's a lack of tenderness in our hearts as Christians. We have more of a we're more than willing to bring them to church, invite them to church. But as far as letting them see Christ in us and being the witness in our daily lives, we're more a little lax there.
I would be a little bit more bold, Sharon, and say we're a lot more selfish because we don't want to be inconvenienced. It's one thing to get in the car and go a half a mile to pick somebody up. It's another thing to be in the Scriptures so that you, when you see this person, your goal is to have the disposition of Christ, which is to woo them, to draw them, and to take the privilege of being a witness. You and I don't know that we do this anymore, but you and I have probably brought people to church so the preacher could fix them.
Right.
So the preacher could teach to them.
Right. So and that then they could hear the gospel.
Yes. And I'd buy them lunch after lunch. Right. I'd buy them lunch and then I'd take them home and I'm done. I've done my good deed. Mm-hmm. Whereas my heart did not have to be in the right place if I wasn't willing to see how Christ is calling me to be his disciple, just not to pass it off on the preacher or the youth director or the mm-hmm. Sunday school teacher.
And that's how we end up not receiving this crown at all. Isn't that the correct? I mean, because not everybody is going to receive the crown of rejoicing just because they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord.
No, they'll receive praise, but that doesn't mean you receive the crown, because remember, the crown had to win a crown, you had to follow the rules of the game.
Right.
Now, that's the earthbound interpretation.
Uh-huh.
Well, we still have a heavenly guide. We have a heavenly constitution that we are to follow if we are to see the crowns, because the crowns are crowns giving to people who overcame their flesh. All right? And
right. So
there has to be a discipline. And you said a word earlier that really resonated with me. You said that we don't seem to have the tenderness.
Mm-hmm.
Sharon, I don't know exactly how tenderness comes, but I know my tenderness has been developed in suffering, in knowing loss, in knowing some of the negative aspects of life, knowing to be rejected, knowing loneliness, knowing...
So you can kind of feel where people are.
Yes.
Okay.
And even in the physical, you know, if somebody has had cancer...
Right.
Are you not a little bit more sensitive to
yes.
somebody else
yes.
who may be going through that? And you have a compassion. You have an understanding that is flowing from your heart because it was born in likeness. The Lord says that he will come close to those who are of a broken and contrite heart. And when God says he's sending his son to be close to us, then we will have that tenderness that you said that it looks like we were lacking.
Well, and I think that some of our prayers can work toward developing that too, because there's been times that we have people in our lives that are a little tough to be around. And when we can ask God to show us those people through his eyes,
yes,
you know, I think that would help us to be able to maybe develop some tenderness if we start asking the Lord to just show us everybody, not just those people that are tough to be around, but to show us people in general that he loves, to be able to see them through his eyes.
I think I've said this before, Sharon, but when I was living in a foreign country and the people were difficult and ignorant and put my life in jeopardy, and I resented it, and I knew that I was not loving the people that he had placed me amongst to live. And so the Lord prompted me that if I would start to ask him to make my eyes His eyes when He hung on the cross.
Oh.
And that I would look at these people that were irritating me and aggravating me and really being obnoxious to me, which was my flesh, if I could just see them with His eyes as He hung. And Sharon, I went from being resentful and not liking the way my driver was driving amongst all these crazy people and threatening my life to having to take a box of tissues with me when I went to shop because I couldn't help but cry. And I still do it today when I think about how He changed my life to just want to see these people to have Him and have life. But I had to let the Spirit show me what it was to see how the Lord looked out in His death, still caring for others. It changed me.
Yeah, and I think that that's one of the things that we can do to work toward being a better light of Christ to others around us. Because this crown of rejoicing, you know, there are many ways to receive it. And it's not just about giving them the ABCs of Christianity. And so how can God use you to bring someone else to His fellowship?
Well, believe it or not, I've got to stop by showing my love back to the Father first so that I can be sure that I'm emptied of self, because self can sure hide out in some very strange little places in us. Yeah. So I have to go back and say, Lord, cleanse me from any presumptuous thinking that I may have or from forming a wrong opinion based on my intellect. Mm-hmm. And I may even have a scripture to be able to support me. But Sharon, what has this ministry been named? Sharon Hearts. Now, when you picked that name, you probably had no idea how prophetic that was going to be. But when I share my heart with His heart, and allow Him to empty my heart of self, and He fills me, now I am ready to be a witness to somebody else. And that can be, that happens when I just walk into the store to get some ice cream, and somebody's standing there, and we strike up a conversation, and before we've left, they've poured their heart out. But you know why? Because they heard my heart caring about them as a person, and all of a sudden, I'm getting information that I really didn't ask for. But somebody was showing they really cared.
Yeah.
And especially with the viruses and the perplexities that we're living with, mm-hmm. we can find positive strength in negative circumstances when Jesus Christ is our focus for others.
Yeah.
He said He will not let that go by the wayside. And sometimes, Sharon, I can walk out of a store and think, there you were just going again. You've just got one thing and you keep talking it over and over and over and over. And the Lord just says, please continue. So when it's all about Him, He says He'll take even my blunders mm-hmm. and maybe my words, or I'm wanting to get a thought out and I quite don't know how to say it and I'm stumbling. And He says, I specialize in blessings out of blunders. So you love these people that I died for. You take every opportunity to let them know that I'm alive. And then if you blunder, I'll make it a blessing because your heart motive, you were sharing your heart.
That's right. All right, Janie, will you close us out in prayer?
That is always a blessing that will never be a blunder, Sharon. Yeah. Father God, how wonderful it is that we can speak Your truth in love, and that as we know how and learn how to share of Your goodness and Your sacrifice and Your eternity that You have provided for us, that there can be no blunders, that You will make every word count for Your Son's glory and honor and eternal good, and that we will rejoice in the day that we see You face to face, and that we can hope with encouragement that we will be able to receive the crown of rejoicing along with the other crowns that You have provided because of Your faithfulness to us. And we praise You, we thank You, and it's in for Your Son's name and for all that that name stands for, the authority, the overcoming, the love, the truth, the grace. It's in that name that we say thank You, amen, and amen.
And amen. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hearts Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHearts.org. That's SharonHearts.org.